Okay, good evening. So it's pouring rain outside right now, right? So I'm glad that those who are here could make it, right? I don't know, the Wednesday night service is always like refreshing in the middle of a busy week. So it's great to be here. Hey, I was thinking of this thought, like Bible trivia. We have Bible trivia, right? Like you ask questions and you play quiz. I thought of this, like, what's the most strongest thing in the world, right? So we can all give many answers, but I'll give you my answer, which, just for fun. I thought of forgiveness of sins. I couldn't think of something better than that, the strongest thing in the world. Okay, and then, al contrario, on the contrary, like, what's the most weakest thing in the world? Again, my answer is human will. Human will, my will, my willpower. So, this is an introduction, but I even had a joke. Should I just preach the introduction or also speak the joke? Can I? Yes? No? Dr. Sinu says no. Which means I will say the joke, maybe. Oh, I'll read it. A pastor decided to visit his church members one Saturday. And at one particular house, it was clear to the pastor that someone was at home, but nobody came out to the door. The pastor knocked several times and finally took out his visiting card and wrote on the back, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. The next day, on Sunday, the same visiting card showed up in the offering basket, and below the pastor's message, there was another scripture verse, and it was Genesis 3:10. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. I just had to say that. Okay. So, hey, going back to that verse in Revelation 3:20, right? Two words for the introduction, love and faith. Love and faith, two qualities, two attributes that go hand in hand, especially when it concerns our life. Love and faith. What is the last words that Christ spoke to his church? Where is it? Which book is it given in? Last words that Christ spoke to his church. Right? It's in Matthew, Acts, no, Revelation 3:20. The same verse that I read, right? Like, Christ is like inviting, and he's giving an invite, says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man means like what? Anybody. I feel like that is a good picture of love. Good picture of love. Hey, any man. Um, Okay, and then the next verse, to him that overcomes, I will grant sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am also set down with my Father in his throne. The second verse is like, to him that overcomes, there is a clause, right? So again, we're thinking of the two words, love and faith. I will go, so two scripture portions I will read, and that's the message. One is Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I'll give you a couple of seconds. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, right? This is the song between that. This is written by Solomon, and it's like an exchange of love between him and his lover, the Shulamite. In type, in typology, it is also a reflection of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the church and the Lord. And so in verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Okay, so I want us to pay attention to he brought me, right? It's like he, so this is the Shulamite saying, he brought me to his house, right? And then she's also saying in verse 7, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake love till he please, right? That you, let's again pay attention to this part, that you stir not up nor awake love till he please. Okay? This part. Okay. So the idea is love is in the house, right? Love is in the house. And then this love has a purpose. Three things, right? Love is in the house. This love has a purpose. And this love is at rest. This love is at rest. And what is the only thing, like, it's very interesting, the comment, like, of the Shulamite, right? Hey, that she's telling the daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake love, till he please. Another portion now in Mark chapter 4. This is the last portion of scripture. Mark chapter 4. Christ is preaching the whole day to like a multitude near the Sea of Galilee on the west, and then by night in verse 35 it says, and the same day when the night was come, he said to them, let us pass over onto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So at the they got into a ship, and Christ is in the or a boat. Christ is in the boat, and then with them there are other little boats. There are also people who are like following him, right? Because he's like very popular. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was in the back, asleep on a pillow. Okay, let's stop right there, right? So that's it. This is the picture that I want us to get through the message. Christ is in the boat. The boat is going somewhere, right? And what? He is asleep on a pillow. This is love. This is God's love. God's love is right there in the boat. There is a purpose, and it is at rest. It is unchanging in how it thinks towards you and me. And there is no valid excuse. And here's the thing. What's the second part of the story, right? And he's asleep on a pillow, and then there is a storm beating into the boat, water filling in, and then they awake him and say to him, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" In the Greek, it says that they rebuked him. It was like pretty strong. So in verse 40, like, Christ is saying, why, like, how is it that you have no faith, right? Faith is closely connected with love. And Hebrews 11 verse 6, it is the only thing that can please God. But how can I operate in faith? How can I live my life by faith, except that I have love, except that I receive love, right? If there is love, then there is a source for that faith to act. So this is what Christ is saying. Hey, faith, take charge. Love is at rest. I have no valid excuse. Faith, take charge. Very simple, right? So also, like, hey, Solomon is in the house. He's resting. There is love. Hey, daughters of Jerusalem, like, don't stir up nor awake love till he please. It's not in human terms, like, sometimes it's almost impossible to not do this in our natural self. When we react, I cannot stop myself from going and waking up Christ, right? It's really impossible. But if love is resident in the heart, like if I understand love is asleep on a pillow, then faith take charge. Faith can take charge and say, let love be. It's not passivity. It's faith taking charge, because it recognizes love is at rest, and the mind of love towards you and me is unchanging. That's the message. Father, thank you so much for this night, and for each person in the room, and for bringing us, that you would bless us with the rest of the evening, build us up, and edify us in our hearts and minds. Keep us in your love. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen. So this also is the prayer for the offering. So if we can... thank you.
What an amazing word that was, huh? Love is at rest, so faith can take charge. Amazing. Great, great song. For a few minutes, just turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Now, there's a beautiful presence of God in this place. Now, it's awesome. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. And they took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." In verse 20, "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua did pitch in Gilgal." Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray you would bless this message now, and thank you for what we heard. Thank you for your presence in our midst. We worship you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4 of Joshua is a chapter on erecting of memorials. Okay, the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River in chapter 3. And after they passed over, God gives Joshua some instructions. And the instructions had to do with erecting memorials in a place called Gilgal. Now, why do we need memorials? Why do we really need memorials? Remember when a couple of years back when we were, Pastor Daniel and myself, we went to the convention in DC. We went to this Lincoln Memorial place and all those. It's almost like you go see that, the history becomes alive. You're forgotten, but because you see the memorial, something is brought back to life, brought back to memory. And it was like, and I think when people of America, when they come and see that, it reminds them of the rich heritage they have and what was really like, what is the reason for the way they, for the blessing upon that nation. In the similar way, God had asked Joshua to make memorials. And why really do we need to have memorials? I think the first reason is because we have a problem of forgetfulness. We need something to remind us. Some things that are very critically important for our lives, which we tend to so quickly forget also. And the second reason why God told Joshua to have memorial was that there would be legitimate inquiries about what is that all about. Right? At that time, it would become an occasion for that generation to instruct their children, who would ask questions. In verse 6, it is a sign among you that when your children would ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean?" It becomes an occasion for them to instruct them concerning God's deliverance for the nation, isn't it? Now, God wanted things of real, real importance to be preserved in the memory of the Jews, in the memory of the Israelites. God wanted them not to forget it. And God also wanted them to instruct the upcoming generation of God's amazing faithfulness and deliverance for that nation. And therefore, they had to have the memorial of the 12 stones in Gilgal. Think about that, and that it has a very important application for us, and I'll close with this. In verse 7 it says, the waters of Jordan were cut off. Right? Jordan speaks of death. And waters of Jordan for us in a spiritual application are the waters of judgment. The waters of Jordan were cut off. It's a unique word that is used. It's immediately heaped up in verse 13 as a wall, not slowly carrying away a few Israelites to death. No. Immediately it would be at the command of the Lord. It would be heaped up. Now, the cross gives us cut-off victories in life. And it's important for us to know, not progressive victories, but cut-off victories. Maturity is progressive. Maturity is a process. But it is the cross that gives us cut-off victories. And when we say cut-off victories, it refers to those decisive moments where choices are made either for or against the cross. And this will eventually determine maturity in a believer's life. Isn't it? Every time we are faced with a situation and we choose the cross, it's amazing we experience Romans chapter 6, the promise of resurrection life. The choice, it's for us to choose the cross, but we don't need to choose resurrection life. We need to choose the cross, and then resurrection life enters into us. That's the way it goes. Cross always gives us, though maturity is a process, moments in our lives have to do with cross giving us cut-off victories to bring us into this process of maturing with God. Times, seasons, decisions, moments of decisions, it's a moment for a cut-off victory that we can have with God because of choosing the cross rather than the flesh at that given moment. Is that amazing? Then it speaks about in verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, 12 stones were in Jordan. 12 stones in Jordan. 12 stones in Jordan speaks of our death with Christ. It is something that we need to reckon on. Then it says in chapter 4, verse 8, 12 stones out of Jordan. And that speaks of our life out of death. Then it speaks of 12 stones in Gilgal. And Gilgal speaks of the resurrection side of the cross. And 12 stones in Gilgal speaks of our new life with Christ. And interestingly, there were no stones on the other side. And that refers to this fact that we don't have need to have any connection with our old man. So we have 12 stones in Jordan, our death with Christ, 12 stones in Gilgal, our new life with Christ, and no stones on the other side, referring to the fact that we in no way need to be debtors to our flesh. We are in no way debtors to our flesh. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. One amazing thing that is mentioned here is, it says 12 stones in Gilgal. Now where did these 12 stones in Gilgal, where were these stones to come from? These stones were to come from Jordan and not from the wilderness. Which means the life that is promised to us comes into our possession only out of death and never outside of death. How did we receive the new life? We received the new life the new birth because of the death of Christ. In the similar way, the new life that we are called to receive and enjoy on a daily basis only comes out of death. That is the reason why flesh cannot manufacture this life. Flesh can never, ever manufacture this life. Flesh can imitate this life until a trial comes. And then it's over, isn't it? One test comes, and what we thought we had is found to be not that. Now, we can be blessed by this life in others, and that's what happens when we come together as a body. But for us to be personally blessed by this life in ourselves, it can never be apart from choosing the cross personally for our lives. Is that amazing? Then it says, no stones on the other side, meaning there is no connection with the old man. It is amazing to trace a couple of these verses. It says that every time after the battle, Joshua came and camped in Gilgal. Every time Joshua went to a battle, it says that Joshua went out from Gilgal. You know, that is the place of our rest. Joshua chapter, you can look at these verses, Joshua chapter 9 verse 6. He camped in Gilgal. He didn't have to go to the other side. Joshua chapter 10, before the land was divided and allotted to the tribes and before he got his own place to stay, Joshua's camp, he camped in Gilgal with his men, with his warriors. Joshua 10 verse 6, 7 and 9. Joshua chapter 10 verse 15. Joshua 10, 43. Joshua 14, 6. All these verses talk about Joshua encamping in Gilgal. And I believe that he understood the rest that he had on the resurrection side of the cross. And in type, we see that our rest is because that we are brought into a new life with Jesus Christ. We rest, and as Vijay beautifully said, there is a rest associated with the people of God so that they can now venture out in faith. Isn't it? Joshua had to be in this place of rest in his new identity, in his new life, without the old interfering, with this new life that God had given him, who he is in Christ, this new creation. Life and self-image was absolutely necessary for him to wage a good warfare. You know, it is important for us to notice that we can enjoy the deliverance in other people's lives. But then this is what happens. We can also enjoy our own personal deliverances as God's people. But if we become unmindful of the memorial, we will become familiar with our deliverance. So the children had to be constantly referred back to a frame of reference. And what was that? The frame of reference of the cross. If we become unmindful of the memorial that God has given us in terms of the 12 stones in Jordan and 12 stones in Gilgal, then it is possible for us to become familiar with our deliverance. And if we become familiar with our deliverance, it will lead to decay in us from the world system. If this process is allowed to continue, it will lead to deception in our soul. And if it continues any further, it will lead to the intrusion of the demonic. And this process is mentioned in James chapter 3 and verse 15. Think about it. There is a forgetfulness because of not going back to the frame of reference where we have to start from. So familiarity with our deliverance, decay from the world system, deception in the soul, and the demonic. And James chapter 3 verse 15 talks about it. Earthly, sensual and demonic is the word wisdom from below. Isn't that very interesting? So there is, like never before, there is always a need we have as God's people to be reminded, right? To be reminded. But also a need to be minded. You know, sometimes we hear a message and we say, oh, it's good to be reminded. But I think if it is just about being reminded, we are missing out on the purpose. God wants us to be minded. It's important for us to be reminded, but it's also important for us to be renewed. Personally, in this memorial that God has given us concerning our deliverance. And it's also important for us to instruct others about this memorial. To instruct others on this. And it's a very essential part. Because you know something? It is possible the generations come in our ministry and they enjoy the deliverance, they enjoy the exploits of our ministry. But if they are not referred back to the memorial, it would be just a matter of time that they will become familiar with that deliverance. You know, a couple of years back, in a rap, somebody asked Pastor Shiloh, how did all these things happen? In the ministry, missionaries all over the world, this campus and this great group of people coming for the convention and this fellowship, how did these things happen? Like, what did you all have to do to make these things happen? Probably he expected an answer with a strategy, how to do it, step one, step two, step three. But Pastor Shiloh said, this is the answer he gave that man. He said, when I was in Bible school, Pastor Stevens taught us about death to self. And that became the reason for this. There was a constant reference to the memorial and giving heed to it so that we would continue in our deliverance and we would also continue in our exploits. And Joshua had that understanding. So he continued in his deliverance by camping in Gilgal, but he also continued in his conflicts where he was called to wage a good warfare. Isn't it? Our ministries, the reason why trends enter into ministries is because of familiarity with their deliverance. The reason why trends enter into the ministry is because of either they become familiar with their deliverance or there is no reference point back to the memorial. Messages are all about other things and it has nothing to do with exalting Christ. It has nothing to do with a new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank God for the memorials God has given us. You know, what is the reason for all these things? What is the reason? Yeah. There is a memorial we want to point you to. Not about how many bricks that were laid to get this thing done or the strategy employed, but there is a memorial we will point to. Because remember, memorials will always lead to legitimate inquiries. And memorials will also help in our memory. This is something we reckon on, our death with Christ, cross that gives us cut off victories. This is the day, behold, this is the day of salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, isn't it? This is the day, it could be this day, because cross is waiting to give us that cut off victory in that area of our lives. It can, if you choose the cross, it's there. It's right there. Our death with Christ, but also a new life with Christ. A new life with Christ where we find our rest. Because that's where, spiritually speaking, we camp. Not in any other place. And we don't need to have any memorial or any remembrance or any frame of reference back to our past. Because God has completely and once for all, through the death of Christ, delivered us from that and brought us into this new ground called Gilgal. Amen. Thank God for what God has shown us. Thank God for, as Vijay beautifully said, the forgiveness of sins. But also we thank God for the cross dealing with the principle of sin. Thank God for the blood that washes our sins away. But thank God for the cross that deals with the old man and brings in a true kind of deliverance for us to enjoy. And we guard it without familiarity. And how is it that we can guard our deliverance without familiarity? By having a reference point constantly back to that memorial, which is the cross. Amen. Mr. Father, we ask you that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts and bless the remainder of our day and the remainder of our week. We ask you that you would really cover us, hedge us, protect us, lead us in real meditation of your truths. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lead us and guide us, Father, we pray. Thank you for the memorials you've given us. Thank you that in Proverbs chapter 24 it says, we are not called to meddle with them that are given to change. Thank God for those memorials so that we continue in our deliverance and we continue in conflicts wherein we are victorious. We worship you, we thank you, we bless your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.